Well, g'day and welcome back to the Humans of Agriculture podcast. I'm coming to you from New Zealand. Mill's holding everything together back in Geelong. And Mill, I think what we wanted to do is, I can't believe we're two and a half months into the year. Insane. It took us a little while to send out a newsletter because I think we kind of, well, like, when it comes to talking with our community, especially Fremantle, we were like, how do we make sure it's worth people's time? And I think what we wanted to do today was kind of check in a little bit, make the newsletter a podcast version, and I think maybe we can flesh out a little bit around that thinking of why did we hold out on sending newsletters? How do we want to engage our community more in different ways? And actually, Mill, I think you're going to run it today, which is perfect because I'm technically on holidays.
You are. I'm holding down the fort. And on that, we are almost 3 months into the year, but really funny. We were talking about it the other day with some friends and they said to me, maybe instead of saying that time goes so fast all the time, we just need to start keeping up with the pace of life. And that really hit home.
Yeah, interesting.
Very interesting, because we've been saying it for quite a while, especially at the end of last year and start of this year, that time has flown, and it has, but maybe it's just the pace of it.
Yeah, and I think for us, like, we talk a lot about it, Mill, around that like whole cadence thing of how do we actually get a pace that we can keep up with. And I think the back end of last year was manic, but I actually think this year has been hectic as well, but more manageable. Maybe we are just learning to keep up and move our legs a little bit faster in my old age, but yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like this year we've definitely hit the ground running. We've got lots of kind of projects on and things happening. But also I think it's probably part of that, the maturity that we might be seeing in the early stage of our business as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'd agree with that. And probably a really good place to start, because I looked up, I reckon the first episode on the Humans of Agriculture podcast got released on March 25th, 2020. So it's almost exactly 4 years ago, Ollie.
It is. You know, I actually reckon it's nearly 4 years to the date. I think this time 4 years ago, I was in Darwin. I was working at KPMG at the time and we got flown up there and I was like looking down the barrel of this 3 month project we're doing up there, and every few weeks or whatnot, we're going to go to Darwin for a week to work with the client. And we got 2 or 3 days in and then this whole thing came out about Australia's borders are closing. Mm. And then we were like, oh my God, are we going to get stuck in Darwin? And at the time it was like, this could be a good idea. Like, it could be great. It also could be horrible being stuck away from everyone. But yeah, 4 years of the podcast has flown, 240 something episodes, which is insane. I think it's been like, when I've been chatting to people, they've asked about like, what's your favorite conversation or whatnot. But really, I think if you look back over those 4 years, it's been the evolution of different things that I've been curious to learn about, perspectives I've been trying to understand for myself. And it's, yeah, been a whole lot of learning about agriculture. 4 years next week, next Monday.
Yeah, that's actually incredible. And so like 4 years ago until now, could you ever have thought that Humans of Agriculture, us as a team, would be where we are? Or like, what was the vision?
Yeah. I think it's when you come up with something like this, you have like, I guess, dreams and you think of what's kind of possible. And then when you actually work your way back from the dream you've got, and like even right now, I've got dreams of where I think we could be, but you kind of come back and go, well, what's possible with what we've got right now and the situation we're in with the people we've got, with the potential partners, with the funding avenues and things we've got, like, yeah, is that dream actually possible from where we sit right now? I think rewinding to 4 years ago, it was really a passion project, and also kind of from a point of frustration, but also from a point of curiosity and knowing that agriculture can promote itself so much better and that the heroes in what we do within our sector are actually like the everyday people. And so the podcast, I guess the way the content has evolved since then has really been about how do we create a space where we can bring the everyday people into that and let them share their story and champion ag in a way that we know can be talked about, because what is happening in agriculture is extraordinary. And there's so many amazing people doing amazing things, and people who have multi-generational, who the way they farmed a long time ago isn't the way they're still farming today. And this group of people that kind of see the opportunities in agriculture. And I think there's a quote which just like rings in my ears all the time, and it's Anna Spear on the podcast where she talks about what she'd say to year 10 people, and it's like her whole career has been in agriculture and it's afforded her so many opportunities and it's been so rewarding. And I think that quote like rings through my ears, and it's like, that's what we need to be showing to the world. And that's really where we started. And I think it's still where we are today, albeit kind of slightly differently and with a team, and but still definitely focused on finding ways to grab the everyday and show that to the world.
Mm. And I think that sentiment from Anna Spear, like so many, like almost all of the other guests have consistently said a very similar thing just in their own words, which I think speaks volumes for like agriculture as an industry. But oh, maybe I'll put that like question on its head. Where did you think that humans of agriculture could be, and that was like really wrong, or it's really different as you've learnt through, you know, building it into like you were doing it while still having a full-time job to now it is your full-time job and you've got full-time staff? Like, where is it not where you thought it would be? Does that make sense?
Geez, Mel, you're coming out with the tough questions first up on a Monday morning. where is it? I think there's probably been, well, like a few false starts in a couple of different ways, but yeah, probably I'll answer your question straight up in the short and narrow. Like, I probably don't know where it's not, only that I know that it's like evolved in different ways. I think the part of, so if I think of things that I'm passionate about in my career that I've tried to bring into humans of ag, it's around how do we increase like consumers or everyday Australians' awareness of agriculture? How do we attract and retain like the next generation in ag? And then how do we showcase ag as being like whole of value chain? Like, they're probably like the three real things I want to do. The part which I still think is so untapped is in and around the career side of things. 12 months ago, we started and tried something there with a jobs board. And I think there's still an opportunity there. I think probably the biggest thing I've learned is that we only have so much time. We can only focus on so many things. And someone asked me a while ago, if you got $1 million, what would change about the business? And I kind of said, oh, to be honest, I don't really know, because we're like fumbling our way through it. I think the big thing would change is that we'd have like real specialists in different areas. And so I think that careers opportunity is one which we'd love to tap into, because I think we've got our community side, which we can do more with. But then it's going, well, with the connections we've got, with the way that we get to see businesses because we're creating content with them, how are we grabbing that and then connecting that to people with jobs? And then how are we showing people outside agriculture? What are some of the roles, opportunities, et cetera, in it? So I'd say that's probably, if I think right now where there's an opportunity, that's probably where it is. And so if someone's listening, they might take it and run. I think also too, like if someone's sitting here listening and going, oh, that sounds like me, I think what I'd throw out there is pitch it to me. And I think the other learning is probably in and around jobs. I think I find it really, really difficult to try and pigeonhole people and be like, oh, we need a marketing manager, we need a ag careers person. It's like, in a small business, you need people who are versatile, who can fit into different areas of the business. And so what I'd love to see is someone who's like quite, I don't even know if the word like bullshit is the right word. I think I made that up, but like quite progressive forward thing, and go, Ollie, based off what I know about humans of agriculture, this is where I see it going. Here's what I can do to it. And if you give me the opportunity, I'll show you how we together can do something amazing for agriculture. And I think I would love to see someone come in and kind of knock on our door. If they think there's an opportunity within humans of agriculture, and if they think they've got the skill set to be able to do it, one, I think to probably fit into our team, they're going to have to be pretty hungry. And I think that's probably a pretty good job interview, a way that they could start it, is to come in and be like, yeah, this is what I see, this is what I'm asking for in order to it, and this is where we can go together. Would be pretty cool.
That would be cool. Watch this space. And probably a good like link into what I also wanted to chat to you about is our community. Like, I know internally we say it all the time, and everything that we do is really focused on connecting with our community, engaging with them, understanding where agriculture is today and how it can go into the future, who's going to get us there. And it is our community. But like, from you, Ollie, like, what role does that our community play, and how can they influence and interact with us more?
They influence so much of what we do. I think it's a thing of being in agriculture. Millers, you know, so well, like literally our friends and our family are living and breathing the stuff. And I think so much of that comes back to, if we think of the carbon shortcuts series that we ran, the better business stuff we run, like when it comes to some of the pieces that we're trying to tap back into agriculture, it's like the conversations we have with friends and family, or the challenges we can see from being out from the outside, is like, hey, why don't you just listen to this short series about carbon? Or why don't you listen to this little piece around how this business took on communication, or how they set up their business structures? Because maybe in your family business, or where you are in your career, you might be able to learn something from it. So I think they're always front and center in that. And we're probably not like pushing it to be like, you got to listen, because where you are is where you're, like, we just see it as being, not, oh, bad business is the right word, but we like just see the upside of it. It's more like, and I'll say guys, but I mean that generally to men and women in the sector. It's like, guys, maybe if you listen to this topic of how someone from outside agriculture or whatnot has approached business succession in their business, maybe you might be happier. And I think that's probably the part of thinking of the community. It's like going to friends and whatnot, and I see where people are at, and they're frustrated, and they've maybe got little bits of resentment and stuff coming into their family relationships because their family is also their business. It's just going, well, maybe there's, in this podcast, there might be one gold nugget that this person says that you think, all right, maybe that's what I need in it. And I think on the flip side of that is, having lived and been involved and grown up in a city environment, like, people are genuinely interested in agriculture. So if we can get the stories of what's happening in ag, and I know this, just the other day, we went out to, here in New Zealand, went out to this cherry orchard, which is running on zero emissions. The guy has come from a tech background. Like, he's a computer programmer, sold his like company to Seek back in Australia, and then moved to New Zealand. He's running his whole business now on electric tractors and things. And there were people out there on that farm visit that have no connection to agriculture. And then I sat next to them, and they were talking to their family and friends about it. And they were like, this thing's actually seriously cool. And it kind of blows your mind that that's what the person can do. Like, in the urban environment, we're seeing maybe electric cars and stuff, but literally this guy was running a whole farm, and he's part of the supply chain off of electricity. And it's actually kind of mind-blowing. So I think, yeah, communities are always there, but that community is broken into a couple of different parts. There's the people who are in agriculture here and now. What are the information, insights, whatnot, which we think could benefit them, but also what's the feedback they're giving us, and then how do we create the content from that? Then on the flip side, coming back to that everyday community piece and going, how do we help everyday Australians understand just how incredible agriculture is?
And they do make up, like, I think it's about 20% of our community based on the latest survey. So it is really cool as well. And Ollie, I was chatting to a young farmer on the weekend, and he was asking what I do. He'd never really heard of humans of agriculture before. And I could see he's buying into the conversation when I said that there is a proportion of our community that are made up of people that are maybe not otherwise connected to agriculture. And that's when he was like, oh, that's really cool. And so I think that is something unique to humans of agriculture, and something that's pretty special.
Yeah, it's 26% of our community. And so I think, like, that's the part of...
Thanks.
No, you're right. More than a quarter. But I think that's the piece of going, well, actually, that's our biggest opportunity. And and coming back to your question, the vision for humans of ag was, how do we lead the conversations for agriculture, but then be able to work in a way where we are open-minded, in touch with the everyday Australians, that 95%+ of the population who live in capital cities, the 83% of the population who have a distant or non-existent connection to ag. How do we become that, like, conduit and connect the agriculture side? And I think naturally the ag community, as we go on, as we do a better job, they'll become more and more of our champions, and they'll support, share, want to be more involved, share their story, whatever it might be, if we're doing a really good job connecting ag into that everyday Australian.
Hi, I'm Pia, horticulture and sugar analyst at Rabobank, and I'm here to share our latest insights on Australia's vegetable market. Did you know in 2023, Australia produced over $5.8 billion worth of vegetables, though only 4.3% of this was exported? Like many other countries, the Australian vegetable industry relies mostly on its domestic market. In fact, only 7% of global vegetables produced are traded between countries. but we are starting to see that trend change. Global trade is growing at a faster rate than production, and countries with low-cost production are seeing the highest growth rates. You can learn more about trends in the vegetable market on our latest Rabo Research Australia podcast, Mapping World Vegetable Trade, or reach out to me via the Rabobank Australia social media channels to learn more.
And so for our community, what is perhaps in the pipeline for Humans of Agriculture this year, like short to medium term goals?
My piece is to really just find a bit more of a, so I really want to find like a bit of an advisory board. I think I fly quite blind in some areas and I've got gaps in my knowledge. So trying to find a couple of people who can help kind of steer and be a sounding board, but in a bit more of a formal way. I guess that's probably like the maturing of us as a business. And then I think for us, it's really going back to the video and podcast content creation. We really want to make content accessible to people so we can get agriculture out there. Where that comes to us is really being social led. And so I think for the next 12 months, the focus is on how do we get agriculture in front of as many people as possible through the stories that we can share. So that's what we'll be working with our partnerships. So how do we probably more like, how do we kind of generalize aspects of agriculture? We'd love to do another series in and around carbon because I think that space is just evolving and also getting more confusing at the same time. So how do we kind of come in and help simplify that? And then also at the same time, how do we build those direct relationships with our community? And so part of that is obviously we've got the podcast where we can do things like this, which is a little bit different, Mill, and talk to them. But also in the next 12, 18, 24 months, I think there's a real opportunity for us to maybe host some event type pieces, whether that's a full-blown conference or whatnot, we'll see. But I think, yeah, from what I see, especially so like the way that New Zealand market their natural fibers of wool and whatnot here, they do it so well back in Australia. And I think in agriculture, we kind of, we talk a little bit about sustainability, but I think we do it in a way which is actually boring and it's not aspirational. And you think, oh, well, to be sustainable is a compromise and we can't have nice looking things. I think for us, yeah, it's going, how do we grab things from outside ag, look at areas that are doing things well and bring that conversation and have ag as kind of the undercurrent in those and ultimately try and bring people back to that role that agriculture is playing in the world around us. So, yeah, I think that's it in a nutshell, really.
Exciting times.
Sure is. And then the other part, Mill, which I probably should touch on is, I think, yeah, looking at ways that you can hold the microphone more as well. And I think that creates other opportunities for us. It gives us different insights into conversations and pieces like that. So that's definitely exciting as well for the year ahead.
Yeah. And probably I know that you wrote a really, yeah, great piece on LinkedIn about it. Like it was a huge milestone. You had literally touched every single bit of content creation since Humans of Agriculture's inception until sending Hannah and I off only this month to Queensland to do some video work for a partner. And yeah, like that was super empowering for me, for myself and Han. I assume so. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but we spoke about it on the road. Like, oh, this is really cool. Like we're trusted to do this. We're trusted to go throughout, you know, central Queensland and have your backing. But what was it like for you?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. And I think kind of beyond us too, Mill, like you look at Australia and just how bloody big it is. It's kind of looking at how can we showcase what agriculture is like in a way that we can do more from kind of where we are, like based in Geelong. And so I think letting go is naturally going to be part of it, but it's also going, well, how do we think differently? How can we bring someone from Kununurra into the conversation? How can we bring someone from North Queensland or from a cattle station in the territory or someone in Tassie? Like, how can we do more from where we are? And so I think for me, naturally, I probably had to let go at some stage anyway, because we chatted about it a little bit. Like, if we want to create a business that has longevity and whatnot, it can't be solely reliant on one person. But only, I think it was yesterday, I was reading something and it was like, well, succession happens in any business, because if you want your business to last for multi-generations, it's going to have to go through a succession. And so for us, I think, one, it makes good business sense, and two, it brings a different level or different curiosities into the conversation for it, and three, it's really the only way that we're going to be able to get across and showcase Australian ag is by letting go ourselves and being able to bring those different people in.
It's pretty exciting. It's really cool to be involved.
It is.
Oh, I reckon that's almost
wrapping up, but I do have a question, a bit of a selfish one. I haven't asked you in a while, but you're such a good like reader, consumer of podcasts, like different shows and things on like docuseries on Netflix and whatnot. I'm out of books. What are you consuming at the moment? Do you have any recommendations?
I feel like I need to grab my bag. I bought one the other day. Bill, you have literally put me on the spot. I have no idea.
Well, I've been holding off buying books because I've had a huge stack there and now I'm finished them and I don't know what to do. I'm lost.
Luckily, I walked into the Patagonia shop the other day in New Zealand, and I love how Patagonia have for purpose and how they've evolved. But they, I literally just bought this one on the weekend and I've only read the back cover. But it's called The Future of the Responsible Company, What We've Learned from Patagonia's First 50 Years. And so at the back of it, I know they've got a checklist for what they've learned and, yeah, some of the learnings that they've taken across it. So responsibility to owners and shareholders, to workers, to their community, to the broader public, etc. So that is what I'm going to be tucking into. And so I'm glad that you asked me that question while I had my bag in arm's reach.
Well, you better keep me updated, and if it's good, I'll read it after you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mel.
No, thank you all. And thanks to our Humans of Agriculture community.
Well, that's it for another episode from us here at Humans of Agriculture. We hope you're enjoying these podcasts, and, well, if you're not, let us know. Hit us up at hello@humansofagriculture.com. Get in touch with any guest recommendations, topics, or things you'd like us to talk and get curious about. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. Rate, subscribe, review it. Any feedback is absolutely awesome and we really do welcome it. So look after yourselves, stay safe, stay sane. We'll see you next time. See ya.